Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So thank you for coming this evening. From this Sunday, we will be beginning a 3-lecture session, that is every Sunday evening, on a topic, glorious departures. Departures from this world. In other words, glorious passing away. Examples of great devotees of the Lord who have passed away from this world in exceptional or exemplary manners, teaching ordinary souls like us about the perfection of life. The perfection of life is measured at the time of death, strange as it may sound. But this is the truth. Just as the perfection of a student's studies through the year is measured at the end of the year in the examination time. Similarly, the success of one's life is measured in terms of how we are able to pass the examination of death. And that's something that is going to happen to every one of us. It's a fact of life. Nobody can deny it or refuse it, even though we may not want to face the situation, but we will have to. Generally speaking, the subject of death may be for most people a little depressing or a cause of fear or some apprehension or some grief. But for a devotee of the Lord, when he or she considers the thought of his or her own passing away from this world, there is not or should not be any fear. Because the devotee has placed himself or herself completely at the shelter of Lord Krishna. The devotee is confident in Lord Krishna's protection, and therefore the devotee has nothing to fear. Srila Prabhupada has given a very nice analogy in this regard. He says that when a cat catches a kitten in its mouth, because that's how the cat moves its kitten from one place to another, it holds its kitten, its young one, by the scruff of its neck in its jaws, and then moves it around, and the kitten feels very comfortable in that grasp of the jaws of its mother. The kitten sees that jaw as security, as love, as protection, as nutrition, as everything. But the same jaws of the same cat, when it catches a rat, then the rat doesn't see it like that. The rat does not see those jaws as security, protection, shelter, and so on. The rat sees the jaws of the cat, rightly so, as death, because that is a fate that is going to befall that rat. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada explains that death is going to come to everyone. The jaws of time, so to speak, the serpent of time, is slowly engulfing every one of us. As we grow older in age, we are closer and closer to that point. It could happen any time, whether one is young or old. Death can come any time. But with every passing moment, we are one moment closer to that final moment of this life. And as we go on, we accumulate so many things in this world. We develop attachment for these things and for these people. And then the prospect of death becomes fearful because we have to leave everything and everyone that we are attached to. So it is a cause of grief. But for a devotee who is equipped with spiritual knowledge, he or she understands that nothing belongs to me. This world is a temporary place where we are simply guests for a few moments in eternal time. We have come here in a particular life form and we will leave after some time. We are not going to live here forever. So therefore the devotee of the Lord is confident that this is not my real home. This is a temporary place where I am traveling through. Just as when we are flying to a distant place, we may switch flights at an airport. We are transit passengers. We get into, let us say, Dubai, and we are at Dubai airport for some time. And then we take another flight and carry on. So this lifetime is like a transit station. We are here for a few moments, maybe a few years, 50, 60, 80, 100 years, and then we are gone. A flight takes us to another place, another few years, and then we are gone again. So the devotee understands the transient and temporary nature of this world. So the devotee never gets attached to the things of this world. Understanding that these all belong to Lord Krishna, they are all meant only for His pleasure and His enjoyment. Nothing in this world is meant for us. We are all meant to use our body, our mind, our soul, our possessions, our family members, our everything in Lord Krishna's service. That is the perfection of life, and that is the consciousness of a devotee of the Lord. So the devotee understands further that I am not this material body. I am the eternal Atma, the spirit soul. And the soul leaves one body and takes another body and then another body and so on. But I have nothing to do with the things of this world. The soul is an eternal part and parcel of Lord Krishna. And that is my real home. My real home is with Lord Krishna, in His abode, in His kingdom, the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. So the devotee understands that when I leave this body, if I cultivate pure love for Lord Krishna, I will not have to take birth again in this material world, which is a place of misery. Instead, I will be awarded eternal residence in the all-blissful spiritual kingdom of God Himself. And for that, a devotee constantly practices thinking about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names. Because whatever we think of at the time of death, that state we attain in the next life. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam nastyatra samshayaha. He explains that whatever is our thinking, our consciousness at the time of death, that is the state we shall attain to. And just as a student cannot hope to pass an examination if he or she does not study throughout the year, similarly, one should not expect that at the time of death, one will be able to think of Krishna if one has not practiced remembering Krishna throughout one's life. So human life is meant exactly for this. It is meant for us to practice remembering Krishna, to practice hearing and chanting about Him, to practice serving Him. And in this way, we prepare ourselves for that final frontier of this lifetime. And when we think of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, with devotion, and we leave our body at the time of death, that is a glorious death. Glorious departure from this world, never to come back again in this place of misery where repeated birth and death take place. Therefore, we have titled this series of lectures, Glorious Departures. Departures are common. Everyone dies. Every living entity dies. Whether it's the animals or the birds or the insects, whether it's the king or the commoner, everyone has to depart from this world. But what is a glorious departure? What is a departure that is befitting a genuine human being? A departure that is truly glorious is a departure in which we are with great devotion thinking of Lord Krishna, and we leave our body in such a situation in complete fearlessness, without grief, without negativity, our heart full of love for the Supreme Lord. Such is a glorious departure. There are many, many examples in the scriptures and also in the history of great saints of such glorious departures. So we will try to discuss a few such examples, so we become inspired to also live our life in a way that we can depart from this world just like they did, so that we can also develop like them a sense of complete fearlessness of death. We need not be depressed or dejected at the idea of death. Rather, for the genuine devotee, we should see it as a gateway to eternal life, a gateway to eternal happiness, a gateway to the eternal association and company of Lord Krishna in the spiritual world. Today happens to be the disappearance day anniversary of Srila Ramanujacharya. Srila Ramanujacharya was a great devotee saint from South India. He lived about 1,000 years ago. A very, very exalted and pure devotee of Lord Krishna. A very powerful messenger of the Lord, who spread the message of Lord Krishna, the message of pure love, far and wide. It was on this day, many, many years ago, many centuries ago, that he departed from this world. So we call this day his disappearance day. So, today, I wish to speak about not so much how Ramanujacharya departed from this world, but about how two of his associates, who were very close to him, how they departed from this world. Because they are very instructive stories, very inspiring stories, very illuminating stories. And we may or may not find many examples like this in our day-to-day life. Indeed, we will not. But such glorious departures have happened. They do happen. And if we work on it, we could make our departure also like that. There was one great devotee of Ramanujacharya whose name was Kuresh. Actually, Kuresh was a very wealthy man. And even though he was very wealthy, he was very humble. Now, it's very rare that when someone is very wealthy or very beautiful or very intelligent or very educated and so on, that one remains humble. Because the nature of this world is that when you have something that is special, you tend to become proud of what you have. But Kuresh was not like that. He was extremely humble and devoted and selfless. He used to use practically all his money in doing lots of charity. And his house, which was like a huge mansion, was all day long open to feed many people who would come. And he would give them Krishna Prasad, the Prasad of Lord Krishna. No one around him went hungry. And this went on for quite a while. One night, when all the work had been completed for the day, And he was closing the doors of his mansion. They were heavy brass doors because he was a wealthy man. And it made a very loud clanging noise. Now the village of Quraysh was a few kilometers away from the holy place that was called Sri Rangam. And Sri Rangam has a deity of Lord Ranganath. Lord Ranganath is a form of Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu. And he resides in this holy place. Many, many devotees of the Lord, they go there to get the blessings and the mercy of Lord Ranganath. So at that time, because the sound was very loud, it was a very quiet night. And as you know, when things are very quiet, sound really travels. So the clanging of these doors, the sound reached the ears of Lord Ranganath in Sri Rangam. And the Lord Lakshmi Devi, his consort, asked him, "My dear Lord, what is this loud sound that we have heard?" So the Lord explained to his consort that this is the door of the house of Quraysh closing. At this time in the night? Yes. Because all day he is doing welfare activities. "Oh, really? So I would like to see him, such a wonderful devotee of ours." So then the Lord spoke to his pujari and said, "Please send a message that we want to see Quraysh." When Quraysh was delivered this message, he was overwhelmed. He thought, "Just see what? The Lord wants to see me? Such an insignificant wretch like me, who is full of bad qualities?" So he was so overwhelmed at the thought that the Lord had singled him out that he decided that the Lord's mercy is such, why should I remain here in the world? He called his wife, who was also similar minded. They gave up all their wealth. They distributed their wealth. They had not a penny. And they departed for Sri Rangam to surrender to the feet of Lord Ranganath. An exceptional thing, extraordinary. He was quite a wealthy man. And for a wealthy man to just give up at the spur of the moment everything he owns is very difficult and very rare. So anyway, they proceeded. At that time, they had to pass through a forest. It was already dark. And there were fearful signs around. There was rain and there was the sounds of the forest animals. And the wife became a little frightened. And she was shaking with fear. And there was always fear of dacoits coming in. So Quraysh addressed her and said that we have given up everything and come here. Have you by any chance kept something behind? And then, trembling with fear, she produced a golden cup. She said, "Yes, I kept this one thing." She said, "Throw that away." So she threw it away. And they came up to Lord Ranganath. They reached the temple and they surrendered their lives to him. And they lived a very simple life, just subsisting on alms. This is not something that needs to be imitated. A householder need not think that this is what I need to do to become a devotee. These are exceptional cases that happen very rarely. And we can understand that Quraysh was already a very exalted devotee. So anyway, he lived in the holy place of Sri Rangam, a very devoted life. He absorbed himself all day in various services for the pleasure of Lord Ranganath or Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. And he passed his time thus. He was a disciple of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya very happily accepted him as his disciple. And he became one of Ramanujacharya's leading disciples. It so happened, unfortunately, that the king of the whole region within which Sri Rangam was situated didn't like devotees. He thought that these people are worshipping Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu, but they should actually worship Lord Shiva. So fanatic was he, a worshipper of Lord Shiva, and so mindless did he become in his fanaticism that he issued a proclamation throughout the kingdom that everybody must worship only Lord Shiva and nobody must worship anyone else. Devotees of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, they understand the exalted position of Lord Shiva. As devotees of Lord Krishna, we should never criticize Lord Shiva, because we understand that he is a great devotee of Lord Krishna. He is in fact one of the incarnations, a special form of the Lord, who appears for certain special purposes in this world. So Lord Shiva is an exalted person, but sometimes his worshippers, they are not so well versed with the scriptures. So in their ignorance, they become very, very narrow-minded. So this king from the Chola dynasty also was thinking like that. His name was Kolatunga. Quite a cruel man by nature. And then some of his ministers advised him that, you know, your proclamation throughout the kingdom will not be very effective. What you need to do is to get the man who is the root cause of all this spreading of devotion to Lord Krishna in the kingdom. He is the one who is spoiling everything. And this man is Ramanujacharya. If you just get him here to the kingdom and get him to accept that it is not Lord Krishna but Lord Shiva who is supreme, then your work is done. Because he has a large following. And when he accepts this, then all his followers will also accept this. So the king thought it was a good idea. He sent his soldiers, "Go and call Ramanuja." The soldiers arrived at the doorstep of the monastery of Ramanuja when Ramanuja had gone for a bath in the river. But Kuresh happened to be there. Kuresh was his foremost disciple. And there was another gentleman, a great devotee, who happened to be there. And he was a guru of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya had accepted initiation from another great devotee called Mahapurna, who in turn was a disciple of the great Acharya Yamunacharya. So Ramanujacharya's guru and his disciple both were present in the monastery at the time that the soldiers of the king came. Immediately Kuresh and Mahapurna understood that something was amiss, that there was danger. The soldiers demanded, "Where is Ramanuja? We want to take him with us to the king. The king wishes to see him." So they consulted with each other, and Kuresh decided that he would act as Ramanujacharya. Before Ramanuja returned from the bath, he donned the saffron robes of Ramanuja and he presented himself before the soldiers and said, "I am Ramanuja." They said, "Yes, come with us." And they took the two of them to the king's palace. In the court, the king had been eagerly waiting. "So you are the great Ramanuja?" He said, "Yes." "Now, here is my certificate that I ask you to sign." And what was written on that? It was only one line in Sanskrit, which said, "Shivat parataram nasti," that there is no one superior to Shiva. Please sign this. Just see how narrow-minded and fanatic he was. And many of the great pundits and scholars in his kingdom had, out of fear for their lives, signed it. But when they asked Kuresh and Mahapurna to sign, then they presented very logical arguments from the scriptures, explaining how the position of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna was supreme, and what was the relation or connection between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. It was a very eloquent discourse by Kuresh. Everyone was struck with wonder to see the scholarship and the devotion of Kuresh and Mahapurna. The scholars in the court of the king were dumbstruck. They didn't have any answer to give. But the king was adamant. He said, "Enough of this philosophy. Enough of this talk. All I want is that you should sign this letter. And you should accept my way of worship. My way or the highway." Yes? So this is the way of fanatics. So at that time, Quraysh, he was thinking, let me write another sentence in return. You see, Shiva, the word Shiva has many meanings. Not only does it refer to Lord Shiva, but in those days, Shiva, the word Shiva also was a measure. It was a small vessel, just like you have ounces and pounds and so on. So it was a unit of measure called Shiva. And more than that was a unit of measurement called Drona. So when he saw the sentence, Shivat Parataram Nasti, he wrote another line below that. Dronam Asti Tatah Param. That the Drona is even heavier than Shiva. It was a pun, a double word. He didn't mean it in a demeaning way, but he just thought because his king is unwilling to listen. And the king was outraged. And he was so cruel that he told his soldiers, pluck out the eyes of this Ramanuja. Ramanuja, actually Mahapurna dressed as Ramanuja. So they plucked out the eyes. Just imagine how cruel and violent an act it was. Mahapurna was actually an old man. And as he lay there bleeding, the soldiers came to Quraysh to pluck out his eyes. And Quraysh said, I will not allow you to pluck out my eyes. I will do it myself. I don't want these eyes which have set upon a person like you to see my beloved Ramanujacharya again. So he plucked out his own eyes. These are historical facts actually, which goes to show that in human society, man can become so intolerant and cruel. So when this happened, they were dismissed from the court. Yes, you can go now. They had been suitably punished. And both of them, their eyes gouged out of their sockets, profusely bleeding. They somehow staggered out of the court of the king. Mahapurna's daughter also happened to be there. He was a grihastha actually. And she escorted them hurriedly. And they went up to a distance. And the idea was that they were heading back to Sri Rangam. Quraysh at that time was relatively young. But Mahapurna was an old man. And he could not bear this trauma on his body of losing his eyes. The pain was too much for him to bear. And he couldn't walk any longer. And halfway through, he just sat down. And he said, I can't make it anymore now. And Quraysh had been hoping that somehow they could move on so that Mahapurna could leave his body or he could die in Sri Rangam, just in front of Lord Ranganath. Because Quraysh felt this would be a glorious departure in front of the Lord in the holy abode. But Mahapurna said, my dear Quraysh, I don't want to do that. I want to leave my body here in the middle of nowhere. Why so? Because people will think that I have come to Sri Rangam only to leave my body, only to depart from this world. And then people will get the idea that if you don't die in a holy place, then you can't go to the spiritual world. But that is not a fact. The devotee of the Lord, because he's always thinking of Lord Krishna, is destined to go to the spiritual world wherever he dies. So the physical location of the place of death is irrelevant for a devotee. This was the point that Mahapurna wanted to make. And he said, for a devotee, these things are irrelevant. So if I leave my body here, I will send out a strong message that will give confidence to the devotees. That if you happen to leave your body far away from a holy place, you don't have to worry. Success can still belong to that devotee who is constantly absorbed in loving thoughts of Lord Krishna. So Mahapurna then lay down, extremely exhausted from the travails that they had both undergone at the hands of the cruel king. He rested his head on the lap of Kuresh, and he rested his feet on the laps of his daughter, and praising, singing praises of Lord Krishna with whatever little energy he had left in his body, his soul departed from the body and he left and went to Vaikuntha, to the kingdom of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. A wonderful, if extraordinary and unusual, passing away of a great devotee. So the lesson we can learn from the passing away of Ramanujacharya's guru, Mahapurna, is that a devotee doesn't have to worry about external considerations like the place of departure. Mahapurna died in the middle of the forest. There was no holy place, there was no temple. But because a devotee is always thinking of Krishna, he is a walking, talking place of pilgrimage. This is the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this was the glorious departure of the great Mahapurna. Kuresh was grief-stricken because he loved Mahapurna. Mahapurna, after all, was a guru of his own guru. And with a very heavy heart, he moved back to Sri Rangam. Kuresh also had lost his eyes. When he came to the temple, he wanted to enter the temple of Lord Ranganath, but the king's soldiers were there. And they said, "You cannot go in because you are connected to Ramanuja. This is the king's order. If you want to enter the temple, then you must give up your connection to Ramanuja." So Kuresh was so heartbroken that he said, "Then I don't want to see Lord Ranganath." And he left Sri Rangam and went away. It so happened that the king intensified his persecutions of the devotees of Lord Krishna. And he even sent out an army to break down the temples. At that time, by the arrangement of the Lord himself, he developed a severe disease in his throat. And in just a matter of a few hours, he died. And all the Vaishnavas, all the devotees in the kingdom heaved a great sigh of relief. Now the persecutions were over. The Lord had personally intervened to save the devotees from further harassment. Then when Ramanuja, who had already fled by that time because his devotees had taken him out through the other door and escorted him out, and Ramanuja did not have an idea of what had happened to Kuresh and Mahapurna till much later when he was in exile, when a devotee from Sri Rangam had come and informed him, Ramanuja was heartbroken. His guru and his disciple both had met with such a horrible fate. They had been tortured like this. But now when he heard the news of the king's demise, he happily returned to Sri Rangam. The devotees welcomed him with great joy. Ramanuja went and had darshan of Lord Ranganath. And the first thing he did after that was to look for Kuresh. He went up to Kuresh and embraced him. And he said, "Kuresh, for me you have sacrificed your eyes. Now I have one instruction for you. The instruction is, you should compose a wonderful poem in praise of Lord Ranganath, and you should beg him that he should return your eyes to you, your vision." So Kuresh said, "All right." And he composed a poem. And Ramanuja said, "Now, let us go in front of the Lord. And you recite these poems. Now actually what Quraysh had mentioned in his poem was he wanted spiritual vision. He didn't ask for physical vision of this world. So Ramanuja said, but you have asked for only spiritual vision. I also want you to ask for vision that is useful in this world, the physical eyes. So remember, please ask that in your prayers. So Quraysh began reciting. In the meanwhile, Ramanuja was called away for some urgent work, and he hurried and then came back quickly, by which time Quraysh had already spoken his words. He had only asked for spiritual eyes that he could see the Lord in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world. Then after that was done, Ramanuja said, but I told you to ask him for eyes with which you can see things in this world, because you need eyes to function here in this world. So Quraysh was saying, but I couldn't think of such a thing. Why should I ask the Lord for anything material? I don't want anything. I just want his devotion. Ramanuja was extremely touched. But he said, no, you please ask him. Go ahead and ask him. So he couldn't refuse the word of his guru. So Ramanuja himself went up to the Lord and said, my Lord, he has done so much for me. He has lost his eyes for me. Now, please give him back his eyes. The Lord said, all right, I will give him eyes that he can see me and you and no one else. Ramanuja said, fine, my Lord. Thank you for that at least. And then Quraysh was given his vision to see the deity. And Ramanuja asked him, now look, can you describe to me how the deity is looking? What are the clothes and ornaments he's wearing? And then very accurately Quraysh described the scene. And then he looked at his guru and he could see his guru also. So he was very joyful. Ramanuja's grief was pacified to some degree. Ramanuja would have been most happy if he had got back his complete vision. But anyway, time passed like this. And one day, Quraysh, who was also an old man by now, his guru Ramanuja was now 110 years old. Quraysh was also very old at this time. So Quraysh one day came in front of the Lord and stood there silently. And Lord Ranganath spoke to him and said, so my dear Quraysh, it seems you have something to tell me. Then Quraysh broke out into a praise of great devotion. He composed some poems in glorification of the Lord. So the Lord said, I'm very pleased with your poem. Please ask me for a benediction. So Quraysh replied, my dear Lord, you have already bestowed so much mercy on me. What more can I ask you? No, please ask me something. So he said, all I want from you now, that I feel the time has come for me to depart from this world. Please accept me back into your kingdom, the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. The Lord said, so be it. And not only that, I will grant you an extra benediction, Quraysh, because I'm so pleased with you. Not only will you be able to enter Vaikuntha, my kingdom, but anyone who has any relation or connection with you will also be able to attain my kingdom. And then Quraysh went back to his place. There had been many witnesses who had heard the proclamation of the Lord. And word spread like wildfire in Sri Rangam. Very soon it came to the ears of Ramanujacharya. And he came rushing to Quraysh. But when he first heard the news, Ramanuja jumped up with joy, even though he was 110 years old. And he began to wave his upper cloth. I am delivered, I am delivered. So everyone asked him, holy sir, why are you speaking like this? He said, just see, the Lord has promised my disciple Quraysh that anyone who has a connection with you will also come to my abode. I am his guru. So I'm connected to him. So because he is headed back for Godhead and I'm connected to him, I will also go back to Godhead. So he was joyfully dancing. The Lord is very merciful. So the Sri Vaishnavas explain that sometimes even the disciples can actually be of great benefit to the Guru. Ramanuja, of course, he didn't need anybody's help to go back to the spiritual world. He himself was the purest of pure devotees. But a lesson was indicated through this. And then after the initial exaltation of joy, Ramanuja became sad. Oh, Qureshi is going to leave us soon. And then he became overwhelmed with grief. And he ran to Quresh. And the first thing he asked Quresh is, Quresh, what have you done? Why did you ask the Lord for this? You asked that you should depart from this world soon. You want to leave me and all the others and go to Vaikuntha alone? Why did you want to go before I do? So Quresh replied, Holy Sir, it is because I want to maintain the order of precedence. I want to maintain the etiquette. He said, how do you mean? I don't understand what you say. He said, my dear Guru Maharaj, when we go back to the spiritual world, those who are senior to us, who have come to Vaikuntha before us, they stand there to welcome us. But actually, it's the juniors who should welcome the seniors, not the other way around. So I want to go ahead to Vaikuntha before you. So when you come there, I will be there to welcome you in the spiritual world. Ramanuja was dumbstruck and overwhelmed. He said, you know, in the spiritual world, these designations, these relationships are not as they are in this world. But anyway, because he was overwhelmed by the love of Quresh for him, he embraced him. And there were some very intimate exchanges of love between them. And then Ramanuja further said, now you are going to leave us and go, and what is going to happen to all of us here? How can we live? Why didn't you think of us at that time? So then Quresh replied, oh, I'm sorry, my dear Gurudev, I was just so caught up with the suffering of this world that I didn't quite understand what to ask. So Ramanuja said, well, then I will go to Ranganath and ask that he should reverse his benediction. Well, you should go after I go. And he was about to head there, then he thought, no, it is not beneficial for me. I should not do that. I should not change the words of the Lord. And then the time came. Quresh lay down. He called his family members together. His sons were crying. His son was to be the next Acharya after Ramanuja. His wife said, I have no other desires. Whatever is your desire is my desire. And at that time, Quresh lay down and gave up his life. And his soul came out through his upper apertures of the body, through the head, and returned to Vaikuntha. Such was the glorious departure of the great soul, Quresh. Next Sunday we'll talk a little more, because now the Lord is waiting. It's not good to keep the Lord waiting for his arati ceremony. So we will continue next Sunday. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand Ki Jai.